morning, church. How are we doing? Excellent. I'm glad. We had some sound technical difficulties here, so we switched mics, so it might be a little tinny to start, but we'll find it. Don't worry. Are you excited to be here this morning, church? I'm pumped. I'm so happy to be here. Our sermon series title this morning, I get to kick off this sermon series. It's All In. All in. Pastor Doug chose this theme. I think it's really great. Are you all in this morning for Christ? Amen. I am all in for sports being back. Anyone else? Like, come on, sports are back. It's so exciting. Baseball season is here. My team is winning. Everything's great. It's wonderful. Hockey starts today. Go Leafs. Come on. Anybody? No? Yeah. I'm excited. I'm pumped. I'm all in for sports, but I'm all in for Christ this morning. And my message this morning is all in for prayer. All in for prayer. Are you all in on prayer? Our entire sermon this morning will come out of Luke chapter 18. That's where we're going to be all morning. We're just going to camp here on three stories from the book of Luke. So let's start reading Luke chapter 18, verse 1. It says, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we get to be here this morning. We get to come before you. I pray that your word that you've given to me would be passed through me to the people. And I pray that today we would leave here changed because of what you're doing in us and through us, God. Holy Spirit, be with me now as I preach, and I pray that these words would speak to our hearts and our minds in even supernatural ways this morning. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would be with those who are online this morning, watching from home. And God, that we would be all in together for you, Father. In your precious name, amen. The first part of this parable that Luke records is so good. I'm going to read it again. It's verse 1. It says, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." Isn't that amazing? Think about that. Jesus says, before he even tells the parable, "The reason I'm telling this parable is so that you will always pray and you will not lose heart." Have you lost heart this morning? Have you lost heart? I don't know about you, but I've certainly lost heart over some things in my life. Church, when I first became a Christian, I was told, you got to journal when you pray. You know, journal when you pray. And you know, because God, if he's going to speak to you, you better have a pen and a pencil, or a pen and a paper, or a pen and a pencil. Somehow that'll work. And you better be ready to write down what God's going to say. Because if you ask him to speak to you, he will speak. You better be prepared, right, church? So I started to journal. And on the front page of my journal, I wrote down all the things I wanted to pray for so I wouldn't forget. I had this laundry list of things I wanted to pray for. When I filled the first journal, I transferred all those names from that and those situations from that page onto the next journal so I would remember them as I went going. And over the years, that page got smaller and smaller, not because God answered those prayers, but because I stopped praying. I lost heart. You know, I'm sick and tired of praying for the same thing over and over again. Like, I'm on repeat here. So I would just stop praying for certain things. God probably won't answer that prayer, not in my lifetime, so I'll stop praying for that. And the list got shorter and shorter. I lost heart. Have you lost heart this morning over something, church? I mean, if you've been a Christian for a long time, I'm willing to bet there's some things that you've been praying for years and years and years. There's family members, there's children, there's spouses, there's parents that you've been praying for again and again, over and over, and it doesn't seem like you're making any progress. There are some of you here, I'm willing to bet, that have been praying for things on this earth longer than I've been alive. Not because you're old, but because I'm really young, you know, like... Right, church? There are some people, you've been praying for things for a long time. And Jesus, how does he open this parable? It says, and he told them a parable so that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. Have you lost heart this morning? If you've lost heart, then this parable is for you. And I pray that it speaks to you right where you're at. I love this story, this widow. She is powerless in this situation. In ancient Jewish culture, widows were powerless. We cannot forget that they had nothing. They literally carried their savings around in their hair because that's all that they had. Church, we are talking about a woman who's going to a judge, a magistrate, who has all the power. There was no justice in this society. This guy could have had her killed for what she was doing, just for bothering him, and it would have been completely within his power. So she's powerless, this widow, and she's going to this judge who's full of power again and again, day and night, for we don't know how long. She goes again and again and again. And every time she goes, she could be beheaded. Every time she goes, she could be thrown in prison. But she goes and she goes and she goes again and again till this guy finally breaks down. We can learn something from that this morning, right, church? I mean, it's so incredible, this story. We bought 2 guinea pigs about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. They're cute. One is brown, one is white, one for each kid, right? They're adorable. They're little fuzzy things. And we've given them all the necessities of life. We have given them pellets. They need hay, so we've given them hay. We've given them water. They have a little home. They have a tube to run through. They have shavings. They have a shelter. It's not too cold. We've given them all the necessities of life. Yet every single time you walk past these things, they squeak, and they squeak, and they squeak, and they squawk. Why? Because they want vegetables. They want carrots, they want lettuce. You give them a piece of lettuce, they run through the tube, they go crazy for this lettuce. And every single time they are persistent, you walk by them, they will squeak, and squeak, and squeak. Church, let's pray like guinea pigs. I'm serious this morning. You know, because these things, they have all the necessities of life, but still, they want more. Church, do you want more this morning? Are you willing to go to your Father in heaven who loves you, your good, good Father, and say, I want more? Because we should. We're called to do that, church. We're supposed to want more. See, there's this woman, she was so powerless. She was way over her weight class. You know, like, if there are any boxing fans in the room, you know, you get up there, the two guys, they get weighed, they're however many pounds, or I don't even know, there's like some sort of measurement. Anyways, and, you know, you fight in your weight class, right? You fight a guy who's a similar weight to you, similar reach to you. Well, I'm here to tell you that in this situation, this woman was fighting way under her weight, or over her weight class, sorry. She was reaching way beyond her reach. She was going way beyond what she could have done, going to this guy again and again and again. See, church, we're called to be all in for prayer, and we are all called to pray out of our weight class. We are called to reach beyond what we can reach, to fight beyond what we can fight, to do beyond what we can do. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit with us. Amen? And this woman, she goes again and again, persistently to this judge. And finally, what does he do? He just gives in. He's like, she is so annoying, it's easier just to give her justice. Now, there's a lot of parents in here. My children are such that if we're driving to Drumheller, where their grandparents live, and we live in Colehurst, by the time we get to, you know, the turnoff for Highway 23 to head north towards Vulcan, they have asked us, are we there yet? How much longer? 27,364 times. I mean, it's crazy how persistent they are we there yet? How much longer? How much longer? And they have tablets. Like, seriously, kids these days are so spoiled. You know what I would have given for a tablet? Seriously. Anyway, so we're going. You know, they're so persistent. And what do we do as parents? Let's be honest. When our kids are, can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? What do? We're like, no, you can't have that thing just because you asked so many times. Gah! Right? Isn't that what we do? Come on, let's be honest here. You can ask 5 more times on this whole trip, are we there yet? And after that, you don't get to say those words anymore. But We serve a good, good Father. When we come to Him persistently, when we squeak like guinea pigs at Him, when we pray out of our weight class and we go to Him again and again, what does He do? He changes our hearts. He blesses us. He changes us from the inside out. Because there's one truth about prayer that we need to understand so well, church, that's so hard for us. It's this. Prayer is for us. Prayer isn't for God. He doesn't need our prayers. He doesn't require them. Prayer is for us. See, when I first became a Christian and I read things like, we have to pray without ceasing, what I thought it meant is like God had this list. And it's like, okay, I need to pray for that thing 5,721 times and then I'll get it. So I better get going. You know, I can understand why there are traditions out there where you like say a prayer 25 times in a row. Because if you have to pray 5,000 times, you got to do it in like big chunks, right? You got to get there somehow. But what that misses out on is that prayer is for us. There are things, there are people here, I know you've been praying for a long time for something. I don't know what it is, but God knows. And you've been praying, and it's easy to lose heart. And this story is not so that we think that we have to pray for something a certain number of times before we get there. It's like Burton talked about last week. He talked about the not yet answer from God, right? Not yet. It's not no, it's not yes, it's not yet. And so often, when our prayers get answered with not yet, it's that we have to change. We have to grow. God is working through us. That's why we got to be all in for prayer, because God uses it. I mean, you look at the book of Acts. What does it say again and again that the church fathers did? They prayed. You look at Jesus. What did He do again and again? He withdrew to quiet places and prayed. Look at Moses. Moses got to enter a tent and be with God. And the Bible says he did it every single day. We were called to pray. And we were called to pray out of our weight class. Because when we are praying for something, we have the full force of the Spirit behind us. Let's remember that. See, I think way too often, for me, if I'm honest, prayers are something I try to squeeze in like right before bed. I'm like, God, thank you for this day. You're amazing. Good night. You know? And if I'm really honest, for me, like to dedicate 30 minutes of my time for prayer, I have to like work at that. I'm like, oh, 30 minutes, that's a lot. Like, you know, I don't know, maybe 25. But yet, you know, there's a 3-hour hockey game on today, and you would better believe I'm going to watch every minute of it. Because boy, oh boy, I want those Leafs to win, right? I'm just being honest. Remember when Netflix, when you go to the next episode, it'd be like, the next episode will start in 20 seconds. And now it's 5 seconds. When did that happen? I mean, we're so held up on time, like we don't even have 15 seconds. We got it for the next episode in 5 seconds now. And yet, take 20 seconds to pray. 20 minutes? A couple hours? Church, we were called to be a people of prayer. And yet, for so many of us, it's so hard to pray even within our own weight class, not to mention out of it. And when we're praying for these things like the salvation of people that seem so stubborn and hard-headed that they'll never get saved, or people whose decisions just seem so poor that can God even love this person? We're praying out of our weight class then, church. And if we're going to pray out of our weight class, I think we need to change some of the things about how we pray. I think the first thing we need to do is we need to pray out loud. There's a time and a place for our inner thoughts, our inner prayers, and that's really good. But what this woman does, she doesn't go to this guy and just sit silently outside his door. She doesn't go to this guy and look him in the eye and just like hope he understands what she means. What does she do? Every day she goes and she says, "Give me justice against my adversary." We need to pray out loud. When God created the world, what did He do? He spoke it into existence. He didn't think it, though He could have. He spoke it, because words have power. And let's remember, words have power over our enemy too. We need to speak our prayers out loud, especially against those things that we've been praying for a long time. It's time to declare them. It's time to speak them over our life, to speak truth over that person, to speak words of wisdom over that person. We need to speak our prayers out loud, church. Amen? The next thing we need to do is we need to, like I said, have a pen and paper when we pray. We should have that. When you're praying and you're praying for something seriously, have a pen and paper there. Be ready. God's going to speak. Amen? Do we believe that this morning, that God answers prayers? Because if we do, then we need to pray with the intention that He will answer our prayers. Let's remember where they go. When you're sitting there half asleep praying, or that's just me, but I definitely do that, my prayers are still going to the same throne room. They're still going to the same God that created everything, the same God who has power over everything on this earth. We need to remember where our prayers go. And I think the last thing we need to do if we want to pray out of our weight class is we need to pray together. You don't want to know the only thing more annoying than one squeaky guinea pig? Two. Right? Church, we were called to pray together. And there's so much strength in that. Again, look at Acts. What do? They gathered together. They prayed together. You want to see something happen in your life? See something happen in someone else's life? Get someone else to pray. And then pray together and then grow and get three or four or five people to pray. There's so much power in prayer that we're not tapping into. We were called to pray together. We're called to lead our families in prayer. You know, it should not be a strange thing for us to pray as a family, as husband and wife. It should be something we're doing regularly because that's how we're going to pray out of our weight class. Our second story is continued on in the next verse. And in verse 9 of Luke 18, it says, "He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted.'" So here we have two guys. The one, you know, he's crawling out, he's saying, "You know, God, thank you so much that I'm not like these people. Thank you that I'm so awesome." I like totally relate to this guy, by the way. I think like I totally get what he's saying. I get that. And then this other guy, he's like beating his chest. He's saying, "Have mercy on me." So who are you when you pray? I think it's easiest for us to say that, I'm not the tax collector, or I'm not the Pharisee. You know, I don't pray like that. I don't say those things. But I think what this parable has a lot to do with is actually a lifestyle of prayer. See, because Jesus says right at the start, he said, we ought to always pray. We got to pray without ceasing. We've heard this before, right? And when I first became a Christian, I thought this literally meant, you know, like sun up to sun down, we got to pray. You know, you got to be constantly prayer. But I don't think that's what Christ is speaking about here. He's talking about two guys with different prayer styles, right? One guy is saying, like, I'm so great, everything's so awesome, go me. And the other guy is saying, be merciful on me, I'm a sinner. And I think what this is referring to is in our lives, you know, do we look at people with judgment? Do we look at people and like, oh man, I'm so glad I'm not like him? You know, the idea of but for the grace of God needs to be there in our lives, right? I could be that, but for the grace of God. I could be in that situation, but for the grace of God. God is so good. You see, this Pharisee, he has no gratefulness, does he, for what God's done? He says, I'm not like this guy. I tithe. I do all these things. Sorry, this wasn't in my notes, but I was at work and we were talking about money. Everyone's talking about money. It seems craziness, debt, this, that, politics, right? You go everywhere. Everyone has an opinion. And these two guys were talking about, you know, how the government's talking about giving money to charities. And I'm not here to talk politics. That's just what they were talking about. And they looked at me and they were like, do you give to your church? I was like, absolutely, I give to my church. They're like, even now with everything? I was like, yeah, absolutely. They're like, well, how much do you give? I was like, a tithe is 10%. That's what I believe in, 10%. That's what we're called to give. And they looked at me and they were like, you're insane. You give 10% of your money to like, what, so the pastor can drive a nice car? And I said, no, God lets me keep 90%. And it just like, the way it hit them, you know, like they think of it, everything is theirs, but we're called to think, and I'm not saying this, you know, like the Pharisee, you know, to like be like, woohoo, look at me. But what I'm saying is the world thinks this is so backwards. And if we're going to live out a lifestyle of prayer, be all in for prayer, we need to have right thinking about things. We need to have right thinking about our money, right thinking about our actions, right thinking about our judgment. Do you have right thinking about that? Because these two guys, we're seeing a juxtaposition. One guy has the wrong thinking, one guy has the right thinking. Where do you stand? I don't know about you, but I got the wrong thinking about a lot of things in my life. A lifestyle of prayer, there's two foundations for it, for a lifestyle of prayer, to be always praying. The first thing we need is to be in consistent communication with God. I mean, I looked up this word always, you know, always pray. You know what it means? Always. I know. Big surprise. We need to be in consistent communication. We got to set time out of our schedule. You see, because our enemy knows where we're weak. And if we wake up in the morning and I think, sometime today, I'm going to pray. Will it happen? For me, probably not, because I'm going to get caught up with this or that, or the game's going to go into overtime, and then of course I have to watch that, like, right? But if you say to yourself in the morning, at this time, no matter what, I will pray, you're likely to. See, the enemy is really good at not letting our days find time to pray. We have to make time. We have to hold on to that time. We need to set a time in our daytime, our calendar, whatever you use. My wife uses one of those mom calendar thingies. You need to make time to pray, because if you don't, you'll never find it. You won't be able to pray when your kids are a little bit older. You know, you won't just find time then. You won't find time when you're retired. You won't find time, because the enemy's filling up our days. We need to make time, church, to pray. You need to have consistent communication with God to be in a life, have a lifestyle of prayer. And the other thing you need is you need to believe prayer works. I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians who are walking around and they don't really believe prayer works. Maybe prayer works for the other guy, or prayer works for them, or prayer works when the pastor prays. But when I pray, I don't know, my prayers seem to like hit the ceiling and bounce back down. Prayer works, church. Amen? Right? Do we believe that this morning? Do we believe that if we go to this good Father, He will give us stuff? Church, we need to believe that prayer works in a world that doesn't believe it. In a world that believes you make your own luck, or stuff like God helps those who help themselves. Isn't that a crazy saying? People really think that that's in the Bible, church. We need to correct them. Because God helps those who can't help themselves, amen? Like me and like you. Prayer works, church. Are you all in for prayer this morning? Church, I've been put on my heart that we need to pray, especially through this time. Everything going on, look out there. This world needs prayer. You and I need prayer to be Christians in this crazy world. Our children need prayer. Our coworkers need prayer. You don't have to go far. Our last story this morning, we're going to jump a few verses ahead to verse 35. Sorry, it's the next page for me here in my Bible. It's Jesus healing this guy. It says, as he drew near Jericho, he being Jesus, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. I love this scene. Just picture this with me in your head. This dude, he's been blind. He's sitting there. He hears this noise. Hey, what's going on, guys? What's happening? What's the excitement? What's the buzz? My wife is one of those people who, if there's like a cop car anywhere, she like is like, what's going on? I need to know. Why did the cops drive by? You know, like she's totally like, what's going on? There's lights. Oh my. He hears this crowd. You can't even deny it, dear. He hears this crowd. They're passing by. He's like, what's this noise about? And they tell him, Jesus is coming by. Imagine the crowd of people that are with Jesus. I mean, think about this. There's a gather around, there's people around, there's noise, there's like dust coming up in the air, they're walking, there's kids running around like crazy. This is a chaotic thing. Jesus is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front of him rebuked him, telling him to be silent. You know, hey, like, get down back there. Quiet. We want to see Jesus. And he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. Imagine this blind guy now. He was just yelling out, you know, like he didn't know he'd be heard. He didn't know that Jesus was going to like call him out of this crowd, and Jesus stops and commands him to be brought to him. And he came near him and asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" Wow. Can you imagine if Jesus was here today? He's passing by. You call, you say, "Jesus," he's like comes over, he like walks up to you, he's like, "Hey, what do you want from me today?" What are you going to say? What do you want from me today? What do you want for me to do today? What would you ask for? He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Amen. So there's Jesus. He's passing by. He's passing by in our lives. Every time we get to pray, where our prayers, where do they go? They go right to God. They go right to him. Jesus is passing by in our lives every day. And he's saying to us, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I'm like, "Not now, Jesus. The game's on. Not now, Jesus. There's stuff going on in my life," right? Church, what do you want Jesus to do for you today? As we close here, I just want to, I love these three stories because there's four people in them, right? There's this widow that hasn't got her prayer answered. We don't even know how long for. Then there's this guy that's so full of pride that he doesn't even know how to pray. There's this sinner who's asking God for mercy. And there's a blind man who receives his sight immediately. And I think this is just perfect evidence of the truth that prayer is for us. One guy gets it answered immediately. This widow, it takes forever. That's what happens. Sometimes it's a yes, sometimes it's a no, often it's a not yet. We need to remember that prayer is for us, church. We want to be all in for prayer. Then we need to start praying out of our weight class, believing God can do what he says he can do in this word. Jesus is passing by today in our lives. What are you going to ask him to do? Or are you going to let your time, your day fill up and, you know, I'll pray twice tomorrow. Church, let's be a church of prayer. That's what scripture says. Let my house be a house of prayer. Let's be a people of prayer who pray even more through this time. Jesus is passing by. What do you want him to do? He's there in our lives. His spirit is in us. At any moment, we can ask him. Isn't it crazy we can think that we're too busy to pray? So as we close here this morning, I challenge each and every one of you, pray this week. Find something to pray for. It's not that hard. Pray for something. If you're here today and you've lost heart about something, maybe there's a person, a situation you stopped praying about, I don't know how long ago. I believe God's saying through me to you, start praying again. Start praying. Be persistent. Be a guinea pig. Squeak. God loves it when we talk to him, when we communicate with him. We cannot ask him too much for something. And if you're here today and you don't know this Jesus, it's time. He's passing by. You can call out to him. It's so easy. Just like this blind beggar said, "Jesus of Nazareth." You can say that this morning. "Have mercy on me." Just like the beggar, just like the man at the temple, all you have to ask for is mercy and he will give it. Let's bow our heads and close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you brought us here. Thank you that you hear our prayers. I pray for those people who have been going through, who've lost heart about something. Strengthen them, Jesus. Strengthen them with your word. Strengthen them with your spirit. And cause them to keep praying. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Keep praying. Stir up things in our hearts that we need to pray for, that we maybe forgot about long ago. Bring them up to the surface so that we can be a people of prayer. Help us to pray out of our weight class, Father. Because that's what you're calling us to do. Let us tackle all the Goliaths in our life because you are stronger and you are greater, Father. For anyone hearing this message online or here today, if you don't know this Jesus, he is passing by today. It's time to call out to him, have mercy on me. If you want to be saved, it's so easy. All you need to do is make Jesus Lord of your life like this beggar did. Father, stir up in people's hearts. They know who they are, that they need you. Today is your day. It's your day to call out to Jesus as he passes by. And if today you want to accept Jesus into your heart, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Not because it's not something supernatural. We're not going to like douse you in holy water. It's simple. It's just so it's an outward sign of an inward change. If you want to accept Jesus into your heart, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Right now, raise it up high. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you're online, you're saying that, and you want Jesus in your life, send an email or call the church. The number and the email are there. It'll be the greatest decision you ever make. Thank you, Father. Can you guys repeat after me as we pray? Dear Jesus, thank you for your life. Thank you for your death. And thank you that you rose again. Father, help us to pray. Help us to pray without ceasing and not lose heart. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen. Are you all in church? Amen. Let's go from this place and let's be Jesus' light here in this city. Amen. As we go, I want to remind you that there are giving stations. There are two giving stations at the back. There are now six ways to give. And if you still give by check, I think that's so cool. I think that's just awesome. Good for you. But there's six ways to give. We still need to give. The church still has bills to pay. We're called. And you know, if God's stirring your heart, this backpack ministry is awesome. We just bought our kids' school supplies. It adds up real fast. Let's bless people in our community. The Connect cards, fill them in and you can return them at the giving stations. And lastly, but not least, if you need prayer this morning, the prayer team is available. We're here to pray with you because when we pray together, it's even better. Amen? Let's go. See you all next week.